dozen of you that over the last probably 4 years have taken office, that we've never done any formal training. Do you see a need?
I mean, I watched the training that you made available.
Yeah.
Personally, not really.
Okay.
I've just been busy doing the job.
Right. And so mentioned in there is if we were to do it, it wouldn't be a repeat of that. It would be, is there anything else you want to know? And maybe it's just a one-day seminar. But I've heard back, Casey Jukes said he's, no, who was it I heard back? Cache County, I can't think of his name. He said something might be helpful, but, it was Perry Davis. From GWAP, Perry said he probably doesn't really need any additional training. And so my feeling is that we probably don't need to do anything.
That's kind of where I would
be.
Do you want to incorporate some of the training that you would do with our next fall UCDA?
Oh, that might be a good idea. Because that was going to lead into is we could do that, but is what do you all think is if we're getting, historically, I've only done in 10 years, I've done two official new county attorney. Marilyn, prior to that, did we have new electeds every 4 years? And so UPC was doing it every 4 years like clockwork? Mm-hmm.
But it kind of seemed like we were, that there was a turnover enough that we had at least 5 or 6 people.
Yeah,
it's very small, and
it was like the vast majority. You know, Jeff was elected and Stephen Stocks was elected. The other 4 were all appointed midterm. And do we need to continue? Well, I guess we just, actually, I don't want to waste our time. So I'll just wait till our next election cycle and see how many we get, because I'm just wondering is if we...
I mean, I'm sure I could benefit by training, but I don't know what I don't know. So,
And I think that's the key for many of us when we step into the positions we're in. We don't
know. Right.
And you find out 6 months later you weren't doing something you were supposed to be doing, and everybody assumed you knew.
The collaboration can be nice to see what other people are doing to solve the problems that you have.
Okay.
We'll pick that up next
time. Yeah, but like Rob was saying, is that fall UCDA, maybe as we help them with their agenda, we can talk to them, you know, and poll you guys that are still, you know, in your first term.
I mean, you may or may not know resources and the collaboration and all basically what it is who does what.
Right.
Here's the resources and here's connections and things like that. So. You probably could still benefit from it.
Oh, I know I can benefit.
One last point is when we talked about this at our national meeting in December, some of our organizations are actually, you know, if the election's in November, they actually do this training the first part of December before you all take office. Whereas historically on UPC's calendar, we've always done it in January after you've taken office. But I'm wondering I know either way it's taking out from your time, but Jeff, would that have, if we had had a formal class, you know, formal conference, would it have been better before or after you took office?
I think before taking office is beneficial.
Okay.
Because once you take office, there's all kinds of demands on your time.
Yeah.
They're fewer. I mean, you are in a transition stage, but there's fewer demands, and it would be helpful to, you know, kind of know what you're getting into.
Okay. So if the council's okay with that, and, you know, we can take it to the training committee, that would be my proposal, is that in the future that we move it from January to December, or I guess even early November, after the election, just sometime before. December's a hard time, though, maybe it would be like November, second, right after the election or something, but just move
it
up.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We are buzzing right through this. Yeah, the prosecutor.
Ron, the prosecutor?
Okay, everything's going pretty well, except
there's a new thing now. We've got the e-filing working. Washington City has been testing it and doing it, and it's working. We've had a few glitches. The court keeps throwing things at us. When you, for the latest thing was just that they said when you file a DV charge, you're supposed to include the relationship of the victim to the defendant, and we haven't been tracking that. We can, and so we've worked out a way to track that and make it possible to, so you can select from when you file, when you have a party, a victim or whatever that's associated with, has a relationship to a defendant in a DV case, you'll be able to select the relationship of that person to the defendant. And so that'll be case specific, so maybe the same victim will have a, will be a victim again in a different case with a different defendant, so that you can, you'll be able to select a different relationship if they have a different one to that person. So we've gone through and tried to fix several things. We've had trouble getting the judges back properly, so we fixed that issue. And now it's going pretty good. So I think we're ready to move forward. So JTI, the vendor, just says we'd like to just do it one agency at a time to get started going. Once we get moving and everything works smoothly, then we'll go, we can maybe move forward with two or three at a time. So the plan is to get a county next, probably Wasatch County, because they were the earliest on e-prosecutor, and they're willing to spend a little extra time with what it, you know, to learn it and to test it if there's issues. So we'll do that. Once they are going smooth, then I'll move it forward. Just county, city, whatever, city, whatever pattern seems to be good. So if your city or county wants to get on it sooner rather than later, just send me an email and say, hey, put us on the schedule. We would like to get going. Essentially, the way it works is there's a tab in eProsecutor where you go to, it's an e-file interface. You click the down arrow on that, it has a menu for e-file and e-file motions and orders and a couple of other things, but those are the most important things. E-file just takes you to a form where you can say, is this an original e-filing? You know, the first one, you know, to, that creates a case. You select that, and then it lets you select a document, usually an information, and then send it to the courts. It sends it. We get a response back that, yeah, they got it. And then usually within a few minutes or even seconds, sometimes it says, yep, accepted, succeeded, you're filed, and they give you back your court case number and your judge. And so it's pretty simple, but still there's a few things. For example, the court requires an address on every charge. Most people haven't been adding those. Washington City already was, so it didn't affect them, but so we'll have to work out that. That'll be part of the training, though. We can maybe default something. And they don't even care what's in there. It doesn't have to be a real address. It could just be Cedar City or King County or whatever, rather than an actual address. As long as there's some text in there, they accept it, which I always thought was kind of dumb.
Does that override the one that comes in from the officer's citation, though?
Well, so
they put an actual street address in there. We're lazy and just put Cedar City, Utah. Will it override that
and
what we see on exchange?
No. No, it's just an extra field that they require when you file something or they reject it. It's kind of odd. The other thing we run into is there's some local offenses, which I've been asked to put in e-prosecutor, but the court didn't have it, so they reject it. So when you ask me to add a local offense, make sure the court already has that, and then it'll match up and it'll be fine. And we can file local offenses without any trouble as long as it's in the court system too. And they have a whole lot of city and county charge offenses that are local to them that are in course already. So the plan is I'll go with Wasatch County first and probably take a couple of weeks. And once they're done, it's comfortable with it and it's moving smoothly, then I'll reach out to others and we'll get them going. So it's pretty nice to finally have that actually working. The courts have thrown a few little things at us, like the charge, address thing that we didn't know about, and then they added you have to have a relationship when you file a DV charge. So we're working through those, and I think as far as I know, that's all we've got, and we've got that pretty much ready to go. So should be good. to move it forward. I'd hope to get everybody by the end of this year on the e-filing. Depends on how smoothly it goes in each jurisdiction, how fast I can move it forward. But that's the plan, is to get everybody started before the end of the year so that you can just click a button and it's filed. Also, you can file additional documents. That works great, and it doesn't have to be one at a time. It could be two or three different ones depending on what they are. But in documents, we're going to have to make sure that if you have a motion, it's not a motion and an order on the same document. You have to file them separately. Some of our documents in the prosecutor were motion and orders combined. You'd print it out and then send each one separately to the courts when you filed it through their system. We'll have to just separate those docs into separate ones. We'll work through that as we go forward with it. So that's pretty much all I have.
UPAA.
Last week, the board spent 2 days down in Springdale, kind of a retreat. And so our report, we worked really hard down there. It was an intense day. How did Kaylee like it?
I haven't had a chance to talk to her.
Okay. I want to thank the attorneys for allowing your assistants to be on the board. They bring so much to it. Haley's been on it, and they're just invaluable. For membership, we updated our terms of new members. We have two new members. Now that I'm on the spot, Marin Gazaway from Lehigh City is new, and Kimberly Payne from Morgan County are our newest members, and we're really going to do well with them. Kaylee and Kathy Locker were voted to extend their time, and we updated our bylaws, just as I mentioned, from on the officers. So we have chair, co-chair, and then there's Joelle, who does the CUPA. So to be an officer, I guess, is that what we call them? We've extended it to 4 years in the bylaws. We planned the conference for 2025, which will be in Kanab, at the Kanab Conference Center on June 11th through the 13th. We've asked some of our star presenters, high dollar,
mediocre, I think, is the one you're looking for.
Trent will be coming down and doing the ledge update and his stalking one that he's done. So that was planned. As far as the CUPA test, we've updated that. And then there was discussion about some awareness with the attorneys and what the CUPA test is all about. There's not been much awareness of what that is, unless you have an assistant in your office that takes the test, and then you get a letter saying that they passed it, and also an assessment form, which I'll talk about in a minute. So we want to do kind of an awareness and also a assistant of the year, like we do the prosecutors, and make announcement at the spring conference for nominations from your attorneys and staff members to send in your nominations. And then we also thought we would like to try what we did with the county attorneys at a UAC meeting and have everybody at spring conference that's there to take a sampling of what the CUPA test looks like. So we did this a few years ago. It's over 200 questions, definitions, yes or no, fill in the blank, things like that. And whatever attorneys were there at the time, Bob took it. He was able to take it before we went there, so we were able to talk about it. And there was 10, 11 attorneys down there that took it, and they all failed. So.
Oh dear.
So we'd kind of like to do that again. Right now, the
I passed, by the way.
Yeah.
I had time. I had time to think about it.
But it was